Our reading this morning is John chapter 10, reading from verses 1 to 10. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, right. Well, you can't have missed what the theme of today's service is, and let's just pray before we go any further. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the truth in your word, and we thank you that your word is the truth. Lord, we live our lives by it. We place our lives under your truth, and we thank you for it. Speak to us from it now, we pray. In your name, amen. Okay, it's getting a bit congested up here. I'm not going to hold the Bible. Doesn't mean I'm not speaking from the Bible or about the Bible. It's just it's a bit heavy, okay? And it's my large print Bible. It even says large print on it. Can you believe that? How embarrassing is that? Right on the front of a Bible, large print. But anyway, I'm speaking about the Bible and from the Bible. The teaching in the passage that Peter's just read to us is actually, it's been triggered by Jesus' discussion with the Pharisees in the previous chapter, the story that we looked at last week. And last week, the Pharisees ended up getting really, really angry with a man who'd been born blind and who'd then been healed by Jesus on the Sabbath. And Jesus picks up this idea and he contrasts himself as the good shepherd with the leadership of the day, i.e. the Pharisees. And he wasn't very impressed with the job that the Pharisees were doing. In fact, he calls them evil shepherds. And he's quoting there from the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 34, if you want to do some homework later on. In the Old Testament, leaders are often characterized as shepherds, particularly someone like Moses. And the idea is there of caring and guiding, a caring and guiding shepherd. And that idea is developed all the way through the Old Testament, right to the point where we culminate in Jesus, the Messiah, the ultimate shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. So what distinguishes the good shepherd from all the others is that he comes as a servant. He comes to serve the sheep with their best interests at heart, not his own. And he comes with God's plan of reconciliation, all for the good of the sheep. Now, just cast your mind back for a moment to what Faye was telling you a little bit about how sheep and shepherds behaved and were sort of organized. The background to Jesus' teaching here, of course, is actually village life in his time, where the animals stay at night in a communal sort of village sheep pen. The shepherd would arrive in the morning to the communal sheep pen, and he had the problem of selecting his sheep, pulling his sheep out from the flock. Well, that was actually fairly straightforward, because the sheep learned very quickly to identify the voice of their shepherd. And this is a hinge point in this story, this teaching that Jesus is giving. And so the shepherd leads his sheep out, and perhaps they end up together with other sheep at a watering hole later in the day. And still that works. The shepherd's voice, he calls his sheep, and his sheep follow him as he walks away. It's quite different from the huge commercial flocks of sheep that we're used to seeing on programs like Country File or Yorkshire Shepherdess. And there's not a suggestion of anybody yelling at a dog saying, "Away, come by, Jess, heel," all of that. See, I can do it as well, Faye. There's no suggestion of that. It's a completely different way of dealing with the sheep. Now, I don't know what it is, but the last time I was asked to speak, Rob gave me a passage about sheep and shepherds as well. I'm not an expert on sheep or shepherds. I'm not an expert on farming. I'm not an expert on gardening, any of those things. But we looked, last time I spoke from the front here, at the role of the shepherd a few weeks ago when we were looking in the letter of Peter. So I'm not going to dwell on shepherds very much today. I want to look at the sheep. And I want us to remember as we do that the sheep are us. Isaiah 53 reminds us, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. So I want to look at the sheep under four headings. And the first one is responsibility. Because the sheep have a responsibility placed upon them. You and I, as members of God's flock, have a responsibility. Once we come into God's flock, there are things that we need to do. There are things that we are expected to do. And the first one, if we want to remain safely in the flock with the good shepherd in charge, the first thing that our responsibility is to listen. Very simply, to listen. To listen to the shepherd's voice. Now, if you can picture that scene that I described a few minutes ago, there is more than one shepherd. There are several sheep, different flocks of sheep. And so we not only have to listen, we need to listen with discernment. Because there are many, many, many shepherds' voices calling us nowadays. You can be pulled in any one of several directions. And some of those voices are very convincing. Some of those voices are very appealing. But the good shepherd's voice is the one that we need to listen to. So it takes discernment. It also takes discipline, because it means that we need to block out. We need to refuse to follow the voices that are not the good shepherd's voice. You know, Jesus said elsewhere that you can't serve two masters. Our job as sheep in God's flock is to listen to the voice of the good shepherd and learn to recognize it. Learn to recognize his distinctive voice. And you know as well as I do how difficult that is. But it's a challenge that is laid down for us. And the sheep hear his voice. The sheep hear his voice. So there's the first thing that I would say. We have a responsibility. And we must learn to recognize. And that actually heads up my next point, that the recognition of the shepherd by the sheep. They follow, in verse 4, it tells us they follow because they know his voice. There's actually a wonderful intimacy in that. Because verse 3 tells us that he calls his sheep by name. That means he knows every single one of us here by name. And he speaks directly to us. Not only do the sheep know his voice, he knows you by name. And he calls you by name. That's more than just an acquaintance. That's more than just generally knowing you. That means he knows you by name. When I was at school, it always used to annoy me. This is a long time ago. I understand this. It always used to annoy me when a teacher refused or failed to address me by name. Rather, I said, "You boy." Yeah, it was that sort of school, actually. "You boy, what are you doing?" How much more intimate? Well, sort of halfway intimate, if he said, "Dodman." Oh, come on, let's get even better than that. "Steve." And that is how the Good Shepherd addresses me. He knows me by name. There's a lovely song. Way back when in this church, we took part in a musical written by Adrian Plass, and it was called City of Gold. And one of the songs in that is an absolutely wonderful song because it's called "The King Who Remembers My Name." This splendid king that we've been singing about, this amazing king, he knows you by name. Isn't that amazing? He recognizes you. He knows what you need. And of course, in verse 5, it tells us that the sheep run away when they don't recognize a stranger's voice. So there's a turning away from the wrong voice, as well as a turning to the right voice. Knowing and recognizing, they're actually the same word in Greek, in the original Greek. They're the same word. The sheep know and they recognize their shepherd. They're drawn to the good shepherd because they know his voice. They turn away from false shepherds because they don't recognize. And I wonder if we're always as clear as we could be about what our good shepherd wants of us. Or are we often drawn away? Are we often distracted from the main feature? The main feature being the good news of Jesus dying on the cross. Being sometimes, as Paul puts it, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Do you know the shepherd's voice? Do you recognize the shepherd's voice? You see how important it is to exercise the gift of discernment. How important it is to check what is being preached, even from the front here or in any church, against Scripture, the Bible. If someone is not speaking words that are from the Bible or backed up in the Bible, then that's not God's voice. And hearing the Good Shepherd's voice actually demands action. Once you've heard and recognized the Good Shepherd's voice, Jesus told the story which is written about in Luke 6, the story of the wise and foolish builders, the house on the rock or the house on the sand. And in the Message Bible, that comes out, there's a verse in that story that says, "These words I speak to you, they're not mere additions to your life. They're not home improvements to your standard of living. They're the foundation words, words to build a life on." Now that's quite an important thing for us to grasp. We know and recognize the words of life from the Good Shepherd. And those words demand action. Well, what sort of action? Well, back to the passage here. What do we do about it? What is our response? What should the response of the sheep be to the shepherd? Well, verse 4, it says simply to follow. To follow the shepherd. Now shepherds in Jesus' day didn't drive the sheep in big flocks. They didn't have quad bikes that they roamed the fells with and gathered the sheep together and pushed them forward. Shepherds in those days went at the front. They went in front and the sheep followed. Now that, for you and me, must involve trust. Following must involve trust. And it's difficult. It's not easy to follow. If you were listening to Jo's thought for the day earlier in the week, she said exactly that. Following sounds easy, but actually it's not. When you consider how easily we're distracted, how easily we're diverted from following. And following may involve suffering. like it did for Jesus, the shepherd. And again, the verse that Yo was talking about earlier in the week talked about taking up your cross and being a living sacrifice. The response of the sheep needs to be to follow. Rob calls it, Rob, our vicar, calls it, or I've heard him say, it's an adventure of dependence. It means giving up control of your own life and allowing God to move into the driving seat, allowing God to take charge. That's the response that the shepherd looks for from the sheep when they hear his voice. And in verse 4, we learn that the shepherd goes ahead. He sets the destination. He sets the direction. He sets the pace. My goodness, don't you wish sometimes he would move at a different pace? If you're trying to follow him and he doesn't move in the speed that you would like or I would like, but the shepherd sets the pace. He also sets the precedents and the patterns that we must follow. The good shepherd is a gentle shepherd. I find that incredibly hard to follow, to copy. Got a phone call just the other day from one of our utility services who had promised to come and service my boiler on Friday. And I got the phone call on Thursday saying, sorry, we have to rearrange it. My reaction wasn't as gentle as it should have been. My wife will tell you. But following the shepherd requires us to copy and emulate his characteristics, his gentleness, and his servanthood. And then finally, the shepherd will care for the sheep. That's what we can expect. We can expect the shepherd to care for our sheep. And in a sense, that's the reward. Paul calls it a prize. I press on towards the goal, the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. We enter into the safety of the sheep pen. We enter into safety. And here we get to the point about the verse that we're focusing on. The metaphor changes from shepherds to gates. And Jesus says, I am the gate in verse 9. The sheep pen where the sheep find safety. The only way into that sheep pen, the only way, is through Jesus. And Jesus is the sole gateway. The only way into God's kingdom. The only way into a safe relationship with God. And we know how he did that. We know he did that on the cross. We know he did that by dying, taking our sin. And in doing so, he carved out a new and living way for us to enter into a relationship with God, the Creator and the Sustainer of the universe. Jesus says, I am the gate. And it's a gate that's a passageway rather than a barrier. It's through Jesus. And the only way, in verse 7, is through Jesus. He doesn't say, I am a gate. He says, I am the gate. And we may be surrounded with and presented with a smorgasbord of different ideas about how to live your life, how to get into a good relationship with God and all the rest of it. But that doesn't work. There is only one way, and that is through Jesus. And we need to hold on to that. Because as we enter the gate, we are saved. We enter into salvation. With Jesus as the gate. You see, we all begin on the outside. We're all sheep in need of a shepherd. Just like in the story last week, the man who was born blind, we are in need of light. And the salvation that he brings to you and me is a personal salvation. Jesus engaged directly with that blind man in the story last week. He engaged personally and directly with him, just as he engages personally and directly with you and me. And the salvation that he brings is not only personal, you're known by name, it actually brings you into membership of a community, brings you into the flock. And let's be honest, there is safety in numbers. And being part of a flock is important, where we gain fellowship and support for each other. And so we have this eternal dimension, the dimension of salvation that comes through Jesus, only through the gate. But there's also a here and now dimension. In verse 9, it goes on and says, you come in and you go out. Now that's just a lovely little picture of everyday life. You come in and you go out. Your daily living. And Jesus engages with that as well. The Good Shepherd is interested in that as well. That's important to him. There's an ancient hymn, a very old hymn, written by Charles Wesley, and it goes like this: Forth in your name, O Lord, I go, my daily labors to pursue, determined only you to know in all I think or speak or do. That just catches it. The Good Shepherd, looking after the daily ins and outs of the lives of his sheep. And then it goes on, brings them in and out to find pasture. The stuff we need of life, echoes of Psalm 23. To find pasture. There's a peaceful picture. And Jesus' sheep have the freedom to live their daily lives in his presence. And that is what it's about, being a sheep. It's recognizing the voice of the shepherd. It's living up to our responsibilities. That's what it's about, being a sheep. And I think that's what he's talking about in this passage. Just to review things. You are paying attention. Listen and discern. Know and be known by the shepherd. Follow and trust the shepherd. And in so doing, you are able to enter and live. And that's what Jesus ends this little section with. He says, come in, go out, find pasture, live in my salvation, because that is real living. That is life in all its fullness. And that's what he wants for you and me, his sheep. There's the challenge for us this morning. I am the gate, he said. And if you come in through me, all of that is yours. Be blessed. Amen.